It will be worth it all when we see Christ. And look forward to that day. Brother Cox, you really didn't need an introduction, but I wanted to give you one because you gave me $5. You said, here, do the best you can with this. And so I wrote a few things down. No, I didn't. Brother Cox is a wonderful friend, and we appreciate him.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you very kindly, both of you, Brother Wiggins and Brother Allen, for that wonderful song. Before we get started tonight, I thought it would be great because school got started on yesterday. And Brother Scott, can you give us a report of school? How many kids you got?
We have 77 signed up. Some of them are still looking to come in, so that's quite a few. 39 brand new kids from last year. So.
Amen. Amen.
And we've done a great job. Lord has blessed us with the great teachers. And the first 2 days, we had a couple kids that were doing well. Tired, and I need a nap for sure. So I'm teaching more classes this year, so I'm not able to sleep as much in my office. But I have a treadmill, so that solves everything. But excellent young people. We probably about 110 or so apply to come to the school, but some people are just not the right fit for us, and so we're able to be at will in Texas, which is great. We're able to take in young people that are not behind in work or that are not handicapped in a way or it's not that we don't want them, we just can't, don't have resources to teach them. So we have just the right 77 in. So we're very, very excited about this year, educating them academically, spiritually, socially, and we're excited about the young people. I think the Lord has given us some excellent staff, and I do thank the church for backing us. If it wasn't for you all, we couldn't do what we're doing. I'm learning over being here 1 year that Pastor has big eyeballs. My eyes are not nearly that big, and so when I saw it on Monday, all coming to fruition, I think the Lord is staying my horizon.
Amen.
And,
so
thank the Lord that we've got a pastor that has a vision, and a much bigger vision than his own staff. But we are super, super happy for what the Lord is doing for us. He's praying for us all year. There's a couple of students that want to come. We're still waiting on some financials to come in there. And other than that, the Lord's been great.
Amen. Amen. And you're tired, want to sleep, and that's why I'm here tonight to let you sleep. We've also found out during visitation, if you come, you note that Brother Scott comes in some all different colors and all different sizes. And we talked to his wife, and he's got a shoe closet that's just out of this world. Lime green shoes and bright pink shoes and orange shoes, you name it, every tennis shoe under the sun is there. So, interesting. Also, I want you to kind of rejoice with me in a couple of things. Our disciple people here, the Case family, told me today that you got a clean bill of health and you texted that you're normal. She's normal. I am so glad she's normal. But anyway, praise the Lord for the clean bill of health God has given to you. And I asked them to come. I had to have a following. Got to have a fan base back there. So that's where they are. Okay. Please also rejoice with me. August the 26th, 19 whatever it was ago, happened to be a time on a Sunday evening. I was in the Haven Baptist Church office, my pastor office, and getting ready to preach a Sunday night service when 15 minutes before service time, I had a severe back pain. And that back pain landed me in the hospital. It was a tumor in my kidney that had broken through the kidney wall, had made all kinds of stuff go throughout my entire system because of it, and had a tumor, a cancerous tumor the size of a small child's football that weighed 15 pounds. That was 8 years ago. Took out the kidney and the tumor, and 8 years later, praise God, I am cancer-free. So rejoice with me as well, and I am certainly happy. I marked that day down, and you never, ever, if you've ever had cancer, you never forget. You never forget, I'll tell you, the grace of God and His love and His mercy after having all of that that's been going on. Let's look to the Lord in prayer right now before we get started. Thank you. Father in heaven, we rejoice in so many great things today that you've done. And we rejoice in how you've provided for all of us. we're so grateful and we are so thankful. And I do pray, Father, that you will bless tonight and the message, and not just because I'm up here, but because it's your word and it is you. And it is the very Son of God who died on the cross for us. I pray that, Father, you'll speak to us now and let us know what you have for us from your word. I completely acknowledge and understand that our people here tonight have gone through a great deal. They're tired, as mentioned earlier. They've had things that go on in their day this week and all kinds of happenings, all kinds of events. But, Father, we are here tonight. Maybe we didn't want to come. Maybe we didn't want to be here. Maybe we were somewhat forced to come. But, Father, we're here. So bless and reward us for that. Refresh us, fill us, and let us see your glory once again through your word. For it's all in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. It was such a great Sunday last Sunday, wasn't it? I saw four families join the church and one dog. Not every church can say that had one dog join, okay? But we had a great, great Sunday, and praise the Lord. People that had been looking for a church and looking for a good one, and they found it right here at Heritage Baptist Church. We praise the Lord for that. But that kind of made me wonder and made me think, have you ever wondered what it is that, and I know it varies from people to people that are looking for churches, but what makes a church a good church, or maybe a great church? And what is it that God is looking for in churches today that make them in his eyes acceptable? And are we that kind of church? Well, these are good questions, and we're going to look at those questions tonight and answer them, obviously, from the Word of God. And one of the greatest passages of Scripture, I invite you to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would please, the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5. After 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you go to Galatians and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I find for us tonight in chapter 5 one of the most beautiful, one of the most natural relationships that Jesus could ever pin through Paul on the relationship that Jesus has with his church. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verse number 22. I'm sorry, had to begin here, ladies. Wives, submit yourself, therefore, or unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he goes on, and the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, and by the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so, men, as if to sum it all up, so ought men to love their wives as their own body, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. This is flows beautifully as you see the Lord's relationship to that of his church. The Bible teaches us that you and I, who named the name of Christ and his church, is identified in Scripture as the bride of Jesus Christ. And one of the great passages of Scripture talking about that is in Revelation. Listen while I read it for you. In Revelation 19, verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Wow. Can you imagine that day? I mean, that's going to be a great, great day when you and I are there, the very bride of Christ, and that day has come. Look what's going to happen in verse number 9. And he saith unto me, for John, write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. We, the bride of Christ, one day are going to have with Jesus Christ this great marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be hosted by Him, made by Him, available by Him. And if you've ever seen that beautiful portrait of the big banquet tables in heaven, and as far as the eye can see, the settings are there. That's for you and me, my friends. We're going to be there in heaven with that marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are the guest of honor. Jesus, the bridegroom, is having this made available for us. So to be His church, you've got to be the bride. You've got to be His wife. And that means you have to exhibit as a church four basic characteristics of what it takes to be the correct wife for Jesus Christ, the wife of Christ. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. The wife that every church ought to be. The wife that every church ought to be. Acts, chapter 2, looking at verse number 41. Then, this is the church, of course, at Pentecost, when it was not started, but it was empowered at Pentecost. And Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. First of all, note verse 41, 3,000 souls. The disciples had never seen anything like this. I mean, this was phenomenal. To begin with, they were not even ready for a church to be. They had been looking for Jesus to come and be the Messiah, set up the kingdom. And the idea of a church, well, that was odd. That was foreign. That was strange. That had never come to their mind, had never come to their thinking. All the prophecy they'd ever known was the coming of the Messiah and the setting up of the kingdom. And now you got 3,000 brand new baby Christians in church. They had never seen anything like this. Never, ever expected. And it did seem to be, after these 3,000 were saved, it seemed to be a very natural thing that after salvation, these people became devoted and committed to the Word of God. Look at it once again in verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly. There it is. Steadfastly. They were devoted. They were committed. They didn't wander away. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is Jesus' doctrine, as well as fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. So they continued on in the teachings of the apostles, which was the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they had a steadfast, single-minded mindset to be there, to be faithful, to have that fidelity that any and all wives ought to have. That's what they did right here. It was worship. It was not half-hearted. It was intense. It was beautiful. And we find here it was profound reverence involved. Look at verse number 3. And fear came upon every soul. There was a reverence here. Worship here. No one really knows how to worship who doesn't really have a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't know how to worship if we don't have a healthy knowledge of the Word of God and the instructions as the apostles' doctrine had been given here. Look once again at the founder of Christ when he says these words in Matthew 16, 18. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The worship was displayed here in this church. Look at verse number 46 and 47. And they continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat with meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. That's worship, my friends. That's worship. They had the apostles' doctrine. The teachings of Christ were displayed. They continued steadfastly there. And once they heard it all in verse number 43, they were in awe. There was a fear. And they continued on in verse number 46 and 47. They were praising God. That indeed, my friends, is worship. It's praising God. It's singing to God for the thanksgiving of the salvation He has brought to you and I. The hearts were filled, deep-seated trust and fear of the Lord. And yet they humbled themselves and were devoted to themselves in church. We're to be charged, we're to be challenged, and we are to be changed from what we hear. And that's what we find here. They were challenged and charged and changed to go the rest of the week. I think that may be why, when you look at the calendar, that's probably the reason why the Lord's Day is the first day on the calendar, so you can get yourselves ready to go the rest of the week. There's a reason for all of this, my friends. It just didn't come by happenstance. There was worship here within this church. Next, we look at instruction. Look at verse number 42. How they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Worship comes after you have been trained. Worship comes after you have been educated. Worship comes after you've received the instruction and the learnings of what you have, as well as the application that they had received of the apostles' teachings about Christ. The 3,000 that were saved, once again, in verse number 41 and 42, and then instruction comes. The spiritual feeding of newborn babes in Christ. Not only do newborn babes in Christ need to be spiritually fed, but the rest of us need to be spiritually fed as well. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes people say, how long have you been saved? And I say, well, it's been over 50 years. Well, you probably know it all by now. You really don't need this thing of church. Oh, I need the things of God all the time, even more. Because life gets more and more challenging. You just don't learn it all and then forget about it. You have to daily come to the Lord and daily honor Him and daily worship Him and daily get the instructions that you need for everyday life. The 3,000 need, like all of us, that love, that tenderness, that care, that cleansing, that comforting, at times restoration. And we, Heritage Baptist Church, we supply that for you right here, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You would never go away from your dinner table half fed, and please don't go away from your spiritual dinner table half fed as well. Be active, be in church, be faithful all the time. Here's where your spiritual instruction and thereby your worship can come. And that's why Christ gave us the pastor we have. Look, listen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we find once again in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Look at it. And all they that believed were together, had all things common. They came together. There was something worth listening to. There was something worth their time. And that something is the Word of God. I realize there are times it gets tough. It doesn't get easy. I realize that trying to get ready and coming to church is not always an easy thing. The devil's going to fight you on that. But it's worth coming to. It's worth the time. It's worth the effort. Because God will meet you here and He will bless you here, my friends. Whether Sunday school all the way up to even tonight on Wednesday night. It was here they were getting the body of truth, which they were committed to. It's here they were getting substance for their faith. It's here they were being established and being ironclad solid during the times of their trials and tribulations. Here they learned to handle the Word of God correctly, to continue to be fed at home, even for their own private devotional time. Own private devotional time. I hope you have one. I hope you are able to and have a devotional time. You don't just let us feed you on Sunday and Wednesday. I hope you are feeding yourselves each and every day of the week. They were equipping themselves to detect and understand and confront false teaching. They were learning to calm their fears and be rid of superstitions. And primarily, the purpose of the church, with all that instruction, was to give honor and glory to God. Why do we have to go to church? We go to church to give God the honor and the glory in and through our lives, my friends. With the knowledge of the Word comes true worship. Each and every time the Word of God is preached and Christ is honored, we get to honor Him and fresh and anew each and every Sunday. But worshiping doesn't have to be waiting until we come to church. It doesn't have to begin there. You and I, my friends, can worship before church and get yourself prepared. Let me say this. Please don't let church happen. You have to make church happen. Don't just let worship come, and don't let Brother Crawford and Brother Wiggins and all the talent that we have up here, don't let them worship God for you on your behalf. You get on your knees before church and you worship God on your own. That's how your heart gets ready. That's how your heart gets prepared. That's how your heart gets filled. Before the kids are fed and the kids are clothed, you get alone with the Lord at whatever time you can, and you get on your knees and say, Lord, speak to me through the Word. Let your will be done in my life. Holy Spirit, please come and show me and direct me. Open the Scriptures before me. Open my heart that I might receive what I should receive. If God's people did that each and every Sunday, wow. Can you imagine? We'd be ready for church. I mean, even when church is going on, we're ready. Because we prepared our hearts and souls ahead of time. So my friends, please don't let church happen. You make church happen for you. You get yourself ready. You get yourself prepared ahead of time. Because whenever you receive the instruction from the Word of God, I would encourage you, I would advise you, just like this church here. They received the apostles' doctrine. After that, verse 43, then the fear came upon them. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, we have an invitation. I would encourage you biblically, after you receive the instruction of the Word of God, and the invitation is given, you come down here to the front and you get on your face before God and you worship Him. Oh God, help me to do what I've heard from the message today. Help me to do what I give you my life to do that. I surrender my life to do that. I let you have my life to do that. That's doctrinal, that's spiritual. They received the instruction and then fear came. They worshiped and later on they praised God after they've heard the Word. After you've heard the Word, I would encourage you to get down here. Fall on your face before God. Honor Him. Worship Him. Say, Lord, I love You. You're so good to me. I want to do whatever it takes. I adore You. You're precious in my life. I want to follow You from what I've heard from the words today. Indeed, my friend, we find here that they all came together. Number three. Look at verse number 44. They that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions, verse 45, and goods imparted them to all men as every man hath need, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat with meat, with gladness and singleness of heart. I find here that they all believed together, had all things common. There was fellowship. So the wife that every church ought to be starts with W, worship, I, instruction, F, fellowship. That's what they had, fellowship. They believed together, they were together in their faith, they loved their Lord, and they got together about what Christ had been doing from house to house. They were rehearsing what God had done for them in their life. They were giving testimony of all the great things that the Lord was doing. They were fellowshipping. Fellowshipping made this church a caring flock. They cared for each other. They knew each other's needs. They knew each other's prayer requests. They cared enough to find out how things were going in each other's lives. May I suggest to you, my friends, that Heritage Baptist Church is a sanctuary here in Hazlett. Whoa. I did not say Heritage Baptist Church is a sanctuary city. I said Heritage Baptist Church is a sanctuary in the middle of the city of Hazlett, where you and I can come away from the world and come away from all the junk that's going on out there and all the craziness going out there. And you get tempted and you get all these problems going on. You and I can come away from all of that and be together with God's people who understand what you and I are going through each and every week. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. You get together and you come together where you can pray and you can cry and you can laugh and you can console each other and even supply each other's needs. That's why we need church, to help each other. Can you imagine how sweet this fellowship was here in Acts chapter 2? Oh, how sweet that it must have been to come together and laugh and pray and play and dine and share the experiences of Jesus. It wasn't Antioch, as you know, that they became Christians. That's what they were called, Christians first in Antioch. The word Christian means little Christ, little Christ. Today, you and I that named the name of Jesus, we are little Christ. And to be able to share with each other what Jesus Christ has done. Church is where you get spiritually challenged. It's where you get spiritually refreshed. Where you can shake off the dust and the dirt of this world and you come together for strength. Do you realize that every time you come to this building, every time you darken the doors of the church, you have a ministry right here in this very building to each other? You may not know what your neighbor in the pews beside you has gone through this week. You may not know the phone calls that they've had. You may not know the email. You may not know what's going on within their family or their job. You may have no idea. But you and I, every time we come here, are to minister to each other. Sometimes we're so focused about ministering outside the building, and yes, we rightfully should. But sometimes people leave churches because seemingly nobody cares. That's where our ministry begins. Show them that we care. Let them know that we care. If you have to put our arm around somebody and say, hey, I may not know what's going on, but just want to let you know I'm praying for you. I want you to know that I love you. Wow, what that'll do for somebody. You have no idea, my friend. People are looking for that help. And that's where you and I can minister to each other. Fellowship. Where else is God's people going to come and express their love and their faith and their care? Where else are God's people going to go and express compassion and prayers? And where else are God's people going to go whenever they are in the hospital? Someone's going to go to them, visit with them, pray for them. Meals can be provided. And all the spiritual gifts that God has available at Heritage Baptist can be shown and displayed unto them. Where? Only in church. Only in a church like this. Yes, Christ's church can be a home away from home where brothers and sisters share with each other what God is doing and what is happening with them. And it's not necessarily all how the Rangers are doing or how the Cowboys are doing, but it's what Christ is doing in their life. You come together. Oh, by the way, when you do, always bring food. Always seems to help. Always seems to help. And finally, letter E, evangelism. Evangelism. Verse 47, I love this verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Can you just imagine? Would you love to have been there with the joy, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the camaraderie, the togetherness that the people were having? Everywhere you went where you bumped into another member, they were happy. They were joyful. I mean, things were going well. The things of Christ were being exalted. The joy was just overflowing. It was oozing out. Indeed, they were splashing Jesus on each other. What a great joy. Praising God, having favor with everyone. And that's why, my friends, the Lord added to this church daily such as should be saved. Daily. I can well imagine. I am sure they came back. Can you imagine 3,000 plus being saved? And people getting excited about the Word of God. And they're getting excited about what's happening and being baptized. And, oh, you just couldn't help but be around and have that smile on your face and the joy in your heart and even laughter. Yeah, I said laughter. It's amazing. Some people think you shouldn't even laugh when you come to church. It's amazing. I don't see it here, my friends, in any way. Because here we find God's people. We're laughing, having fun, enjoying each other. Oh, by the way, God did invent laughter. We didn't make it on our own. He gave it to us. It's okay to laugh in church. It's okay to laugh in Sunday school. It's okay to laugh and have fun of what God is doing in your life. And there's such enthusiasm, you just couldn't help but spill it out no matter where they went. Clearly from verse number 47, this church worship was praising God and the people were attracted to it. They were attracted to it. Who wants to be attracted to someone that's, I'm happy in Jesus? I would not want to go there. There was a joy. There was excitement. There was enthusiasm. Indeed, evangelism was going on. They gladly received the word in verse 41. Verse 46, evangelism from house to house, breaking of bread. And here we find here that they shared the word, continuing daily with one accord. Evangelism happens outside of the church more than inside. They were willing to tell the world about Jesus. My friend, church is the place that God calls people out to serve Him. People, pastors, missionaries, those who are going to serve the Lord in the long ministry end of it, my friend, are not made and they are not manufactured in Bible college. Churches are the place where God's people are called out of to be that pastor, to be that missionary, to be that deacon, to be that Sunday school teacher, to be the music people here in the church. It's where God calls people. It's within the church. It's the only church, the only place that God called place where missionaries and missions are launched out from all the world. And church is the only God-given place with the obligation and the duty to send missionaries around the world. God did not call AT&T to do it. God did not call, Bill Gates and Microsoft to do it. And I'm sure God did not call Donald Trump Enterprises to do it. God called churches to send out the gospel around the world. And people within the church to go do that. That's why, my friends, we love church. That's why church ought to be important to you. Whatever God loves, we should love as well. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If Christ loved the church well enough to do that, that's good enough for me. The place I ought to be. The place I ought to go. Oh, you say you've got some issues with certain things in church. Who doesn't have issues of certain things going on? Because the devil makes sure there are plenty of issues. But with God, there are no issues. It's where the Word of God is preached. Missionaries are talked about, prayed for on the screen. You know where they are. You read their letters. All of these things are going on. Church is God's place, my friends. Indeed. I love churches who have the proper wife, W-I-F-E. And that's why I love Heritage Baptist Church. Because Jesus is the chief shepherd here. And our pastor is the under-shepherd. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, to the seven letters of the churches, he talks about that, how he, Jesus, is in the midst of these churches, how he has the seven candlesticks. One is like unto the Son of Man, and we find that the mystery of the seven stars, which he seeth in chapter 1, verse 20, in his right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which whom thou sawest, are the seven churches. What we learn here is he has each church, he walks through them, he's in the midst, he cares, he has each of the churches, and he's hands, and he has each of the pastors that have been called angels in his hands. I'm not sure where Tanya is today, but if she's in the nursery and listening, Brother Crawford is an angel. Deal with it. We have to deal with it as well. Indeed, he's in the Lord's right hand, and he cares deeply for him. He cares deeply for this church. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us that Jesus loved the church and we're to love what Jesus loves. We're to honor what the Lord honors. Worship Him, W. Instruction from the Word of God. Get it all that you can. Fellowship with fellow believers, don't shy away from that and evangelize. Get all excited and tell people about Jesus Christ. The depth of the church is determined by the quality of worship and instruction. The breadth of the church is determined by the commitment of his people to fellowship and evangelize. With every head bowed, please, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The church. You've heard the words. You've heard the instruction. I realize on a Wednesday night we're all come from different aspects of what's going on. But I've also found in the scripture, and I've also found in reading biographies of great men, that God doesn't use lazy people for his work. God uses people that are already tired, already working, already having put out a lot of energy. And that's where they depend and they trust and they pray and ask for God's strength to get them through, God's grace to get them through, God's mercy to get them through. Yeah, even for an old man like me, tired, exhausted, yes, sometimes you think, can I go on? In Jesus Christ, we can all go on. As you've heard the word, heard the instruction, the invitation's about to be given. Remember, after they heard the instruction, then they came down and they worshiped the Lord. How long has it been since you've truly, on your own, by yourself, worshiped the Lord? I mean, worship him. I mean, honor him. Fall down at his feet and say, Lord, like Mary, I honor you, I worship you, I give you my life. I devote my life to you. I give you my all. You are my everything. Just like our spouse never tires of hearing how much we love them, Jesus never tires of hearing us say how much we love him. Father in heaven, thank you for the wife that we're all a part of here today. Not only ourselves being the bride of Christ, but this wonderful church. You've given us a great, great church whose everything described here, the worship, the instruction, the fellowship, and the evangelism. I pray that, Father, you'll help us now for our part. Not just let things slide by. Not just let church happen, but let us to be a part of that. Let us make church happen. And we thank you for it. Help us to fall on our face and worship you and honor you. We thank you for it all. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen. Have you stand?